Ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you for being here tonight. I've had the opportunity since last August to travel the state of Kansas. And from the northwest to the southwest to the southeast, even the northeast, it's just been amazing. This is Austin Lager. He is my, he's from northwest Kansas. He is my AV guy who's traveled with me. He's also my youth minister at St. Peter. And, anyway, we've been able to give presentations, over 100 some presentations, thousands and thousands of people, preaching at the masses on the weekends and what have you throughout the state. It's just been it's just an honor. The reason I mention all that is that I have one more talk after tonight.
I'm done. Put your hands together. It's awesome.
And then the bishop at the same time, I was asking myself, like, gosh, once I'm done with this here in July, it's like, what am I going to do? You know, I've been gone 6 days a month, and it takes about 5 days to prepare for it and what have you. But, and then the bishop calls me and says, hey, you're going to St. Joe. Anyway, so now I'll
move. I'll have things for you to do, Father.
Anyway, so again, we started during the year of St. Joseph. And I thought it was so appropriate during that year to teach it about valuing the both because, again, Joseph, we had the 150th anniversary of his dedication. Oh, yeah, you might have, that's pretty, unless you have eyes in the back of your head. There you go. But anyway, dedication to St. Joseph, and he is the 150th anniversary of his patronage of the Universal Church. And he basically had, and he is a patron of husbands and fathers, and he had only one duty. And that one duty is to take care of the unborn baby, right? Take care of the unborn baby and unborn baby's mother. So that's why, again, St. Joseph, pray for us. St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Before I begin, talking about valuing the both, I always have to start out, is that why are we pro-life? Why do we care about the human person? It's because again, the human person is made in a special way more than any other creature, right? So when we're going to be talking about social issues, because valuing the both is not a religious issue, it's not a political issue, it's a human issue. Is that, do you recognize humanity? So when we're going to be, when we were young, we were always been told there's two things you don't bring up at a family reunion. What is it?
Politics and religion.
BS. All right, so anyway, we've been lied to. Religion is our relationship with God. Politics is our relationship with one another. How do we relate to one another? That's politics. But when we're dealing with human issues, when we talk about social issues, how do we get along with each other? Okay, yeah, politics. What is going to be the very core of our understanding, our Christian understanding of working with one another? So I'm going to ask you to use your imagination here for a moment. Imagine you have a stone. And you're going to take that stone and you're going to throw it as hard as you can into a still pool of water. What's it going to do? Right? It's going to send out ripples. But it's the stone that causes those ripples. The ripples in and of themselves are not that, I mean, it flows from that central stone. So as a Christian, when we talk about relating with one another, when we talk about assisting one another, assisting those who are poor and what have you, it all depends on our understanding of the human person, that the dignity and sanctity of human life. If we do not understand that every single person is made in the image and likeness of we have to be able to understand that the dignity and the sanctity of human life is based on everyone being made in the image and likeness of God. With that image and likeness of God, it separates us from all creation. And this is what makes us special. This is what sanctifies us. So if I have a politician who wants to work with social issues, work with people, and he doesn't recognize or understand the dignity and sanctity of human life, can he garner my vote? Can he represent me? If it is my worldview, how am I able to say that this guy is going to represent me if he doesn't have that worldview? That's the very core of who I am as a Christian. And this is not a Catholic issue. It's not a...
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
It is not... Okay, there we go. I don't know how long I could have done that. But anyway. But anyway, what's amazing is that this is a Christian issue. It's a human issue. And so the dignity and the sanctity of each human life is at the very core of how we work with one another. How we understand one another. And with that human dignity, we have a new ripple. And that is the rights and responsibilities that each human being has. Because you are a human being, you have a particular inalienable right. And our founding fathers, in their documents, they state that, especially in our declaration, that we have a right to
life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
The first right is the right to life. Why am I here tonight, guys? I'm here because in April of 2019, the Supreme Court in the state of Kansas saw this preamble in our Constitution, Kansas Constitution, and they said that pursuit of happiness means that every person has a right to an abortion. Religious leaders rose up immediately in that spring. And they formed a coalition. When I say religious leaders, I mean just Catholics. We had the Baptists, the Baptists, and the Missouri Synod Lutherans, some Methodists even. But the Catholic bishops of the state of Kansas, they formed this coalition. They called it the Value the Both Coalition. And they put together a proposal. Thank you, bro. He's heard my talk 100 times. Here, I'll give it to him. Anyway, they put together a proposal. And our legislators who are supposed to represent us, we didn't have enough reps say yes to it. Our representatives and our House of Senate, that Senate. We needed a super majority, 60%, 66%. We didn't have enough in the spring of 2020. But we had an election in the fall, right? Well, some of them rolled off. And we got new ones on. So they put that proposal before them again, and by the skin of our teeth, we got that proposal passed to put it on the ballot. It's going to be on the ballot here August 2nd. Mm-hmm. And this is why, again, we're traveling. On this primary election, our representatives barely put it on the ballot. They're stating that, again, every person has a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. When we take a look at that human being that was created, we're created in the image and likeness of God. That image of God is our ability to think and our ability to choose. With that ability to choose, we have a free will. With that freedom, we have liberty. I'm going to pick on the gray hairs of wisdom. I'll pick on doctor. Okay, how many... Here we go. The Baltimore Catechism. Number 6. Why did God make you?
To know
him. To know him, to love him, to serve him. Why? So we can be
happy.
So we can be happy. Our founding fathers gave us the right to life, stated that we had a right to life, that we had free will, we have liberty, and that we have the pursuit of happiness. They were well-read. They knew the faith. Sure, they weren't Catholic. They didn't have the Baltimore Catechism back then. But this is the purpose of our existence, to know, love, and serve God so we can be happy with Him in heaven and to be happy now. These are particular rights. But if a person has a right to life, then I have the duty to defend that right. So if this young lady here has the right to life. I didn't say that.
Sort of.
Right.
If she has the right to life, we have the responsibility of defending that right. That's what a responsibility is. So if we have a, if there is a right, we have a corresponding responsibility to defend that right. If we have the right to free speech, then we also have a corresponding responsibility to let other people talk.
Unless I'm talking.
So with every right, we have the responsibility to defend rights. And especially when we're talking about the inalienable right, the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, we are having that responsibility placed upon us today, shoulder to shoulder, arm in arm, standing in the defense of the unborn child and the unborn child's mother. So yes, tonight I'm going to be calling you to action. I'm going to be calling you to form that wall, to form that protective wall for the unborn child. And it's going to be maybe a little bit uncomfortable for some. But we have that responsibility. We have that duty. We have that obligation. It sends out another ripple. And that ripple is the call to family. You know, when I have couples come to me for marriage prep, I always tell them, I say, well, you know, why are you here? And they say, well, we want to get married. Okay, fine, sure. But what you're really wanting is that you are wanting to have a sacramental marriage. And what is a sacramental marriage? It's to the degree in which the husband unites himself to the original community of persons. What's the original community of persons? The Father so loved the Son so loved the Father, but proceeding from the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's the original community of persons. You're in wanting to get married in the church so that you might be able to form your own community of persons with your wife. So to the degree in which the husband unites himself to the original and the wife likewise, they form a bond so profound that they name it 9 months later. I'll explain that to you. This call to family is the original community of persons. It's united to the original community of persons. A person, a child, has a right to family, has a right to be born of a mother and a father. He has a right to be able to come into a community of persons we call family. And this is why the church is so strong in recognizing the dignity and sanctity of the human being. It says stands so strong on the sacrament of marriage, on the definition of marriage. It's not between two men or two women or whatever they come up next. It is that so that we might be able to recognize this dignity and sanctity of the person to create family. Now, with that call to family, there's another profound impact. And that is, because we are a community of persons, that we also can determine how is it that we wish to be governed. Because we have that free will. So we are called to participate in the community. We're called to participate in forming the government in which we wish to live. And again, there, go back to the Founding Fathers again in that declaration. It says that when we are been a long train of abuses, we can throw off one form of government, start our own. That's the new experiment. That's the shot heard around the world. We're going to try something new, that a self-governed people might be able to self-govern. And the only way that we can truly self-govern is that we recognize core principles. These are core Christian principles on which our nation was founded. And we know how that's being eroded so much today. And I don't stop talk politics here. However, I might slip a little. The next is the option for the poor. If we're going to call ourselves Christians, we have to have our ear to the ground for the poor. It all goes back to the same, the Old Testament. The same God says to Moses through the burning bush, he says, hey, Moses, come over here. He says, I've heard my people's cry in Egypt. I heard their oppression, their slavery. I want you to go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. Moses says, why me? And Jesus himself says, when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me crown water.
Those, I'm just dropping little hints there.
And he says to those on the right, he says, whatever, you know, he says, come, welcome to my kingdom. They said, well, Lord, when did we feed you? When did we give you a drink? When did we visit you in prison and stuff like that? He says, whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. And then he turns over to those on his left. And they say, Lord, I wish we would have sat over there. When do we not do these things? Whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me. Jesus equates himself to the poor. So once again, if we're going to call ourselves Christians, we have to recognize not only the dignity and the sanctity of life, we have to recognize that every single human being has that dignity, has that sanctity, and we have to assist them, especially if they're poor and they're disadvantaged. This is who we are as Christians. So this is the fourth thing. The fifth thing, the rights of workers and the dignity of work. A human being, I love John Paul II. He says this on human labor. He says, we actualize ourselves when we work. He said, work makes us holy. Now, what does he mean by actualize? He says, we have the intellect, we have a free will. And he says, when we take that intellect and free will, the strength of our arms, the strength of our limbs, and we apply it to a natural resource or a service, we can gain capital. He said, that's natural wealth. And he says, that lifts the person up. You know, he says, again, when we take a look at what's going on in our nation today, how many, I didn't notice when I walked in here tonight, but is there help wanted here? Do you have a help wanted sign, ma'am? Ma'am? Do you have a help wanted sign?
Oh, we do.
Okay, there we go.
Every single place you go to says help wanted. Why aren't we getting help? Because they're still on the government dole. Is that lifting the person up? It's destroying, attacking the very core of that person, their intellect and free will, and their ability to work. And it's not making them holy. It's degrading them. Now again, Austin and I, we've been traveling around the whole state, and I discovered my favorite restaurant, Sonic. But I was down in Fredonia. And we stopped there at the Sonic, and we ordered our food or whatever, and it was taking a bit, whatever. And I noticed a little sign right above the television there. It said, please be kind to our servers. They decided to show up to work. So I told that story, I think, where was it, Topeka?
Manhattan.
Was it Manhattan? And this guy came up to me afterwards, and he says, Father, you know, I'm a salesman, and I travel the whole state or whatever. I went down to that Sonic in Fredonia. And the lights weren't on and it said closed because they couldn't get any help. That was just a few weeks after we were there. That is destroying the human being. And I don't get political, but it seems intentional to destroy our nation from inside out. Infiltration. The rights of workers, the dignity of work. A buddy of mine, we went to school 8 years together. You remember Tim Boyk? I don't remember him. Tim and I, we went to school together for 8 years. He was ordained for the Diocese of Rapid City, South Dakota, West River, and I was ordained for Wichita. But anyway, after he was ordained a few years, he was sent to the Indian Reservation up there. And he was there for a few weeks, few months, and he gets a knock at the door about lunchtime. He answers the door. And there's a Native American. He says, Father, could I have a sandwich? Father says, no problem. So he goes to the kitchen, fixes him a sandwich, and goes on his way. Next day, same time. Father, could I have a sandwich? And he fixes him a sandwich, goes on his way. The third day, same time, knock on the door. Father, can I have a sandwich? And Father says, he was German. He says, hold on for a sec. And he goes out in the garage and he grabs a spade. Brings a spade to the front door and he says, you know, I've kind of been wanting maybe to get a flower bed over here. Could you, over here to the left of the door, could you go ahead and just turn that soil for me so I can put a flower bed in there eventually? Yeah, no problem, Father. So, starts digging. Father fixes him a sandwich at any time, and he finishes and gives him a sandwich. The next day, same time, Father takes the shovel from the left side to the right side. He says, how about over here? Put a choir bed over there. No problem, Father. So, shh, 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 shh. Next way, fixes some sandwiches, goes on his way. Next day, Father's in the house about the same time, and all of a sudden he hears this, shh, 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 shh. Goes to the front door. He says, buddy, can I help you? He says, Father, I know you're going to make me work for it. Fixed him a sandwich, and before he left, he said, you know, buddy, we don't have much money here for the parish and the school. But if we can help you out, I'd like to have you. If you take care of the flower beds, the landscaping, the lawn, we'd like to hire you. And here's what got me into the reason I tell the story. His father said to me, he never asked for a sandwich again. Because he had money to get it himself. That's not just a handout, that's a hand out and hand up. Up and out. Because the worker has, the human being has dignity, and he has actualizes that dignity when he works, or when she works. That's who we are. The next ring is solidarity. It's one of my favorites. Solidarity simply means this. It means that we're connected as a human race. Okay? So with Greensburg, the tornado out of Greensburg, happened or whatever, did your community do anything to assist them? Yes, you did. I know you did because I recruited from you. Anyway, we sent out, I gathered, gosh, what is that, 2007? Maybe 2007? I was down in Winfield, and I started recruiting Knights of Columbus to start getting teams up together. And I know I swung through college or whatever, picked some guys up. Kingman, I picked some guys up on my way out there. Had folks from Wichita, we all met in Greensburg. And we, within 6 hours, had that Catholic church razed to the ground completely, excavated out and whatever, and within the next week or so, 25 truckloads of dirt was filled into the basement and leveled the entire lot. It was the first lot in the city of Greensburg after that tornado that was ready to build on. All because the Knights of Columbus pitched in from all over. Central Kansas here. Why were we concerned? Because they're human beings. Whenever there's a crisis, we respond. Why? Why do we do that? It's not just, we're not just because we're Christian, not just because we're Catholics, it's because we're human beings. When Katrina hit, why did America respond to that? Because they're human. A better one, okay. Haiti had an earthquake and a tsunami that followed. Indonesia, on the other side of the world, we responded as 90% of all the charity they received or whatever came from Americans through American charitable organizations. Now, I'm not talking about government. I'm not talking about military. Now, when government and the military did help, the military especially is always so cool, they sent two ships there and they desalinated a huge amounts of water and gave them all fresh water. That's what those big ships do, I guess. Why is it that 90% of all their charitable relief came from America? Different nationality, different creed, different language. It's because we recognize, because of our principles, our founding principles as a nation, and the core of who we are as human beings and Christians, is that we recognize their humanity. It's who we are. That is solidarity. St. John Paul II said that solidarity is the 20th century's word for love. It connects us. It keeps us connected. The final ripple sends out is environment. Care for the environment. Now again, as Christians, we're not tree huggers. Right? We're not called to be tree huggers. But what we're called to do is to be able to not exploit or rape today what we might need tomorrow. Again, I've been able to travel to all rural Kansas. And I've never met an industry, an occupation that is more profoundly caring for the environment, and that is farmers, ranchers, and cattlemen. Are they perfect? No. But dang it, they care for the environment. Why? Because they want to hand it to their children, their grandchildren, and everybody who comes after them. Because it's their livelihood. They support what they love. They love what they support. Quick little question here, a little trivia. What, of all the wetlands that we have in the United States, what organization supports wetlands support the most? Does anybody know the organization? Who said that?
Ducks Unlimited.
Why?
Because they love what they support, and they support what they love. It was because of Ducks Unlimited we had an address to the eagle problem, if you want to. And it's because we started removing lead shot because the eagles were eating these lame ducks or whatever. And I didn't mention biting. But these lame ducks. I heard him say that. But these lame ducks that had some lead pellets in them, the eagles were eating the ducks and they were getting sick because of it. Ducks Unlimited, they love what they support what they love. They care for the environment and they push that through the legislators, they don't push that through. Dryland upland birds, whatever, that's, you know, Pheasants Unlimited, and just, and we can go on. I also teach hunter safety, by the way. Anyway, so, but what's fun is that, again, we care for the environment, not because of the environment, not because of the tree, not because of the rabbit or the lizard. We care for the environment because we're going to hand it on. So again, this is again, if we truly care for the dignity and the sanctity of each human life, we have to care for the environment in which we live. It just makes sense. But we're not radicals. Crazy. Right? We're not crazy. Every 4 years, the United States bishops put together a document called Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship. So before you get into the vote, before you pull that lever, you have to have a formed conscience. Now I use that phrase, pull your lever. Does anybody remember voting, pulling a lever on the ballot booth? Yay. Thank you. I feel like I'm 800 years old, right? I was down in Chinook, Kansas, I think it was, and a state senator was up there, and I was getting a little excited at this time or whatever, and I was sitting there, when you go to the booth or whatever, and you pull the trigger. And he went, whoa. Anyway, but when we pull the lever, you go in there and you go click, 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 then you go, and then you pull this another lever and the curtain opens up. I don't think you can rig that. But anyway, I'm sorry. So, with every 4 years, the United States bishops put together a book so that we can have foreign conscience. Now listen to these words here. And I'm just a couple paragraphs here. In our nation, abortion and euthanasia have become preeminent threats. What's the word preeminent mean? The most important, top priority. Abortion and euthanasia have become the preeminent threats to human dignity because why? They directly attack life itself, the most fundamental right, and the cause of all others. This culture of life begins with the preeminent, there's that word, obligation. What's another word for obligation? Duty, responsibility. Remember rights and responsibilities? This culture of life begins with the preeminent duty, responsibility, to protect innocent life from direct attack and extends to defending life whenever it is threatened or diminished. That paragraph is where I'm going to launch to call you into action. We have the preeminent obligation, the preeminent responsibility to defend innocent life. Womb to the tomb. Womb to the tomb. Let me hear it. Womb to the tomb. Why is it that abortion and euthanasia are what we're directly attacking right now? I'm not going to get political. I never get political. All the people in those blue states, this elderly that died during COVID, 90% of them came from care homes. Was it intentional? I don't know. Have you heard of the phrase, follow the money? The state of New York saved $840 million in 1 year because they terminated all these people in there. Follow the money. And here's the same people say, oh, we're concerned about the children, we're concerned about the children. And yet they support the systematic termination of the elderly and the unborn. What? Give me a break. I'm calling you to action. Reminds me of a story.
You'd think I'd get started on value of the vote, but I haven't yet. So, there's a story about a missionary who went down to South America. And he worked spreading the gospel among the natives. And the village he was assigned to, whatever, was right on the edge of a river. And that river came directly from the east, took a sharp turn to the south. And that village was great, right there on that bend. They called the village what? Great Bend. That's right. And no, I'm just. I told that joke in Great Bend, and they thought that's stupid. Anyway, so.
Oh, you did there too, yeah.
Anyway, so the story goes that he was down there one morning before sunrise, and as the sun was coming up, whatever, right over the eastern. Over the river that was coming from the east, the big, broad, slow-moving river. He said, who can see this? Who can witness this? Who can experience this and not see God? So the missionary, every single morning before sunrise, would station himself at that spot, at that bend, and he would say his prayers as he watched and witnessed God's hand and the sun coming up. One day while he was praying, he noticed a log coming toward him down the river. And as that log got closer and closer and closer, he started thinking, I don't know if that's a log. He set his prayer book down and he swam out to the middle of the river, and sure enough, it wasn't a log, it was a human being. He brought the body to the shore, up the bank, called the villagers to help him, assist him, see if he could get rid of the dead, get this person a Christian burial. That's what Christians do, respect for the dead. The next day he was praying down there, the story goes, and same thing, a couple more logs. Calls the villagers, they swim out and bring them to the shore, up the bank, bury the dead. The next day, the same thing, the next day, the same thing. The next day, the same thing, but as they were bringing them to the shore, all of a sudden some of the logs started to move. They were alive. So they buried the dead and they built a little hut so they could give some sort of care and compassion, restore these people back to health. And every day, every single day, they were so caught up in all this action of burying the dead and caring for those who were sick, they forgot to ask a question.
What's going on upstream?
What? I'm reading their mind. What the hell's going on upstream? What's going on upstream? This is what I'm asking you to be able to do today. To get the other foot on this journey of faith, this journey to justice. We have to be a voice for the unborn child and the unborn child's mother. An advocate comes from the Latin word advocatus, which means to be a voice. To be a voice for those who are voiceless. To be a voice for the unborn. To be a voice for the elderly. To those who are vulnerable. To be a voice for those who are most in need. This is who we are as Christians. So now with that, I would like to begin my presentation.
I think you got a word,
I don't. So why not? Again, in 2019, April, the Supreme Court of the state of Kansas, after due diligence and study of the Kansas Constitution, discovered the preamble of our Declaration of Independence in it, and they said that caused a pursuit of happiness is why everybody has a nearly unlimited right to abortion in Kansas. This ruling cleared a path to be able to render all of our laws regarding the abortion industry, restricting the abortion industry, it is rendering them unconstitutional. Everyone is presumed unconstitutional. Parental consent. Our young girls have to go and get mom and dad's consent before they get their ears pierced, but not this procedure. We had to pass a law that says we have. Dan, you were part of that one, weren't you? Yeah, Dan was part of that. To pass a law so that we might be able, the parents have to know about their minors. The woman's right to know bill. A woman has the right to know about the procedure and what that procedure is going to do to her and her body. She has the right to know the development of that little fetus inside her. She has the right to know. A lot of times at this stage in my presentation, I have all these little 11, 12, 13-week
little babies, little fetal models, when I pass out. What's amazing, folks, what's amazing is that once they see their baby, 80, 85, 90% of girls who see a 3D imaging sonogram of their baby, 85, 90% nationwide, they save their children. When we started this travel, it was 25 3D imaging sonogram machines. By the end, I think, of this month, we're hoping to have 28 or 30 that are produced by or purchased by the Knights of Columbus. Now, I don't know how many babies they have saved, but I know they have saved lives. And so we'll hopefully have 30 stations throughout the state of Kansas. That is 3% of is 0.3% of all the ultrasound machines purchased throughout the entire world through the Knights of Columbus. 0.3%. That's little Kansas. That's kind of cool. There was a council up in Shawnee County, and they were going to celebrate their hundredth anniversary of being a chartered Knights of Columbus. And they said, well, you know, for us to celebrate this properly, let's see if we can raise enough money for one sonogram machine, 3D imaging. And so they told the community, they told the parish, they told whatever, had a couple fish fries and pancakes and whatever they did, and they didn't raise enough money for one. They raised enough money for two. And those are being installed this summer. So, by the way, give the Knights of Columbus a big round of applause. It saves lives. A woman has a right to know. We passed a bill that a woman has a right to know the development of where she's at in her fetal development. This law is presumed unconstitutional. Clinic inspection. That's simple, isn't it? That's August. We had to pass a law because a doctor came in from out of state, purchased or rented some sort of building or facility in Kansas City in the poorer area, pulled out the equipment, whatever, hung up a shingle, and he started performing abortions. Carpet on the floor. The only thing he had to sanitize his equipment was the kitchen dishwasher. I'm telling that story out in Dodge City, and the guy in the front row started shaking his head, and I said, what? And he says, Father, I'm a veterinarian. We have standards. We have inspections. This is where we are. A couple weeks before Christmas, this was challenged in the court. The judge, with his hands tied because of the Supreme Court's ruling, had to say, yeah, it's unconstitutional. As of today, we do not have any inspections or any standards, safety standards, for abortion clinics. We also have a law on the books that says we cannot perform, listen to my language here quickly, live dismemberment abortions. We cannot perform in the state of Kansas live dismemberment abortions. That law was challenged 2 weeks, 3 weeks after Christmas, this last January, and it was unconstitutional, deemed unconstitutional. So now we can do live dismemberment abortions here in Kansas now, and that's how we collect our fetal tissues for experimentations throughout the United States. I don't get political. However, Project Veritas, have you ever heard of that guy? Discovered through undercover camera that the University of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania had 10,000 some samples of children whose tissues were gathered with live dismemberment. This is going on in our public universities. I don't know what it's back here at home, but I know it's been discovered. And again, right now we have a ban on any sort of taxpayer-funded abortion. Folks, since the ruling in 2019, we've had a decrease you hear me? A decrease in Kansas girls receiving abortions. We had a 6.5% to 7% decrease of Kansas girls receiving abortions. But in the state of Kansas, we had a 10% to 13% increase of abortions in the state of Kansas. Why? Because they're coming from out of state. We had a 136% increase, I believe, from Arkansas. 300-some% increase from Oklahoma. Are you ready? This is old data. This is probably about, I don't know, about 6 months old. It is, we had a 1,136% increase from Texas. And that's before their six-week bill. If this law is deemed unconstitutional, we are going to have taxpayer funds supporting an industry that is the haven of all the Midwest, supporting all these abortions. Not just Kansas abortions, all abortions performed in Kansas. Do we want our money to go to the systematic termination of innocent life? We must make a decision on this. And this is why, again, we must vote yes this August. But I'm not asking for your vote. I already got it. I'm asking you to get your family's vote for yes. I'm asking you to get your people on, what do you call that? Facebook. To get yes, say yes. Most of our Facebook friends are local. They're in the state of Kansas. We need to start talking about it. I've already heard some people say they're taking different things from valuethebold.com. They're taking some of that information, putting it on their Facebook, and Facebook is censoring it already. Freedom of speech, right? Yeah, right. They're censoring it. But we have to do everything we can. Even, folks, if you can even just pull out these phones we call smart and type in valuethebold.com, get it on our browser, we can push it to some of our contacts. Just push it. Push that link to our contacts. We have to, not only we have to vote, we have to take some action so that we can get others, our friends, to vote. This is what's important for us right now. This is the action, and this is the advocacy for the voice of those who are voiceless. So what is it we can do? We're going to have some signs go out. Does anybody ever put up a sign? Put up a sign, and then did anybody have it tore down? Okay, cool. Okay. Let me just tell you a story. We had a guy in my parish. He had a corner lot, and he put three on. One on the corner, and then one to the east, and one to the south. Well, anyway, you come out the next morning, whatever, they're tore down. Oh, he was mad. So he goes in his garage, he gets three more. And he puts them right back where they were, but this time, he sprinkled them with holy water. And he said, it's been a week and a half now, Father, they're still up. Other people have shotguns. But anyway. But yeah, folks, we're going in a fight. There was even, you show me a picture there. Somebody had painted it with a red spray, paint, voted no across the yes, across the sign. So I mean, yeah, we're going to get a little bit of, we're going to get a little green. But that's okay, we're Christians, right? Expect it. If we're going to call ourselves Christians, we have to expect that we're going to have a little pushback. We're going to have pushback. So let's not be afraid to put out our sign, to put on a bumper sticker. Okay? You know, I was in Russell, and I told these kids, I said, they're confirmation kids out there, freshmen, sophomores or something. And I said, hey guys, do you guys have lockers at school? Yeah, we have lockers. And I said, do they let you put any stickers on your lockers? No. So I gave them a whole bunch of bumper stickers. And he said, Father, we can't do that. We're going to get in trouble. I said, yeah, but it gives you time to tell your story about the unborn baby and the unborn baby's mother. I also showed them these magnet ones, and they said, well, can't we use magnets? I said, no, that's going to have time to tell your story. I was out in Atwood, I think it was. This guy says, well, I don't know if I'm going to put a sticker on my truck. And I said, why not, bud? He said, it's an $80,000 truck. It's a little risky. You drive a piece of crap like I do, who cares, right? It's a little risky.
But I tell you what's so awesome, and I don't know if your heart beats this way, but I'm driving down the road, and every third person I cut off has a cover sticker that says, "I in the mode." It's so awesome. You know, I don't know. But isn't it cool we're starting to see more of that out?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know where the stats are for this, but for every sign you put out, we're told, every yard sign you put out can get you 32 voters. And so we need this during this week. We need to go and locate those signs, where they're at, and we need to start putting signs out to our neighbors, to our friends, to our family. And if you've got some room, a 3-foot by 4-foot sign, if you have even more room, a 4-foot by 8-foot sign. Well, how many signs did we count coming in? I think it was like 12 signs coming in, you know? And it was so awesome. And right down on 54 Highway and Annandale Road, big old 4-foot by 8-foot, awesome. Folks, we need to get that sign out. It gets votes. And if nothing else, people say, what are these blue signs? And they're going valuethebook.com and they're looking it up on their phones and they're finding what this vote is about and we're getting their votes. So again, we have to keep pushing. I'm going to kind of close, to get close to closing here with this. Where does it start? I think it starts with family. Grandpa? I'll pick on Grandpa. You have any kids, 13 or so, or whatever?
Yeah, barely.
Grandma.
It all starts. Say, Grandpa, why do you have little baby feet on your shirt or on your collar, on your lapel? Why do you have the little baby feet? And it gives you an opportunity to tell your story. It gives you an opportunity to be an advocate. It gives you an opportunity to be a voice for the unborn baby. And you can say to that 13-year-old, well, when you were a little baby in your mommy's tummy, your feet were that big at 10 weeks old. And during that, while you were 10 weeks old, you had fingerprints, you had toe prints, you had a little heartbeat or whatever, you even had brain waves. Yes, 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 I know you don't have them now, but you had brain waves when you were little, at 10 weeks old. Gives you an opportunity to tell your story. We cannot be afraid to tell our story. Can't be afraid to be Christian. To be able to explain what is the human life. The propaganda media that we have today is constantly trying to distort everything that is good, everything that is holy. Gender, what have you, name it. Everything that's good and holy is being distorted. Especially the dignity of life. And so, yeah, the sanctuary, same people that support abortion, that support euthanasia, are the same ones crying out about the kids down in Texas being shot in that school. And I said, how can you open your mouth? Totally. I don't talk politics. So we are going to be challenged. Different things. Let's pray for our neighbors. Why seven? Well, because there's 7 days in a week. On Sunday, you pray for the knucklehead to the left. Monday, the knucklehead to the right. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. There's one guy in Atwood, I think it was Atwood, Nortonville, he says, well, my nearest neighbor is 15 miles away. I said, you can still pray for him. I'd go that way. Pray for our neighbors. Within the church, we're going to need some assistance. Right now, we're a little bit late in the game here, but church kits, whatever, you get a presentation. If you know a church that has not had a presentation yet, get somebody to get in there and speak. There's about 30, 35, 40 of us that are going around the state of Kansas. I'm the only Catholic priest, but we have a lot of Catholic presenters and we have a lot of Protestant presenters. And they do a fantastic job. Theirs is not as long as my talk. So again, we have to get, I'd like to see every single church have a value in the bold sign. Every single church have a value in the bold sign right there in front of the church. And that's difficult when you get to some of these other denominations that they think, oh, this is political. We have to explain to them, it's not political. It's human. Of human rights. Okay, let me skip this.
Yeah, I don't know how that got
there. There we go. Okay. That's what, if you haven't seen it yet, this is what the sign looks like. Oh, let me just mention this, that we've already started to see this now. We're starting to get radio ads from Planned Parenthood. radio ads, TV spots. We can't compete with that, guys. We cannot compete because money's not an object for them. Money is just available for them. They are going to take over all the airwaves. We have to be the ground game. We have to be the ground game. That's why, again, we must get talking to our neighbors, our family, our friends, and we bring it up in our family reunions coming up here, right? Before August 2nd. We've got to start talking religion and politics, right? Now, with that, remember I said womb to the tomb? What did I say? Womb to
the tomb.
Right here. We have to demonstrate to the community that we support all these different efforts of helping people so that we are consistent in life, that we have a consistency, a pro-life consistency. Okay? All right. I'm going to close with this here. Has anybody been gone to any training on how to go door-to-door? Okay, cool. You could probably get this better than I can. All right. But anyway, so there is an opportunity right here in Colwich. I think we have 400-some phones. 400-some homes that we need to knock on. Somebody needs to knock on their doors. And we just give a little piece of literature and just say, hey, I just want to remind you, vote August 2nd. August 2nd. Vote yes. And so nothing's going to be more effective than us going at the door, especially if they're neighbors, going door to door, have your sign out there at your home, and then maybe get a couple extra signs with you and see if your neighbors want those signs. But nothing is more effective than person to person. So what is the, what Planned Parenthood has, the air game, what they don't have is the ground game, and that's heart to heart, mind to mind. So again, this is where we can totally win this. And Sedgwick County is going to be extremely important in this win. Okay. So anyway, so with that, if you get to go through the training, you can download this app, and you're going to receive a password and what have you. And then you're going to get a little database, and it's going to say, you know, house district. What's the house district here in Polish? What's the house?
87.
So they'll probably give, if you're wanting to go around here, they'll give you a house district 87. And in that house, in that district, it's going to tell you, they're going to divide it all by, what is it, 40 or 50 people? Do you remember? 40 or 50 homes that you knock on? So you, they call those books. So here you get the house district 87, and then you go and you pick a book. You pick your neighborhood if you want to. You can pick your, you know, your take your township or something. And you can just say, go door to door with that. You pick that book, and then those of you, you know, who don't know how to use one of these phones, you've got grandkids. Let them help you do that. You know? I don't know how to do it. I have Austin do it. So anyway, what's cool is that you click on that, you click on a book, and then also gives you the home. So now this is a key switch it off. But you click on the home, and you push the house, and they're usually green, I think, and you turn it on, and then boom, it kind of disappears or changes a different color. It says, hey, I already hit that house. So you can sit there and walk house to house, house to house, and you have track. And just on your spare time, you can just say, hey, look, I'm going to take out 40 houses. I'm going to do 40 houses and this week. And usually you can do, if they're close like this, it's in the city, if they're close like this, you can do like 25 houses, 30 houses in 2 hours. So, you know, so if you say, hey, this week I'm going to start working on this, and you just start knocking on those doors, that's the most effective way of getting that vote out. And then it sends you through a script. This is an old, this is just a sample, but it gives you a script, and you kind of go through it. Hey, would you like to take a yard sign? So when you go out, we'll see if we can supply you with yard signs. Did we run out of yard signs, by the way? Right. Kansas for Life.
No, they have some more.
Okay, Kansas for Life. Over on 13th and something, over on 13th, you'll find a whole bunch of signs, yard signs there. I think they're out of the big sign. But anyways, you swipe that and boom, it generates another test for us. But anyway, so that kind of concludes my presentation. Let's save babies. Are there any questions? Yes.
It's kind of more of a comment. I went to train for guy in the boat. I know. People sign a paper that's going. Thank you. People sign the paper that you sign going around. It just will help. help me to check your name off so I don't show up at your door. If you want to help me every Saturday until the end of July. July, I will be going out until I'm done. Chuck Shear is doing it, and there are other people in our parish that are going to be canvassing. It's super easy to do. You have a handout, and you just hand it to the people and tell them what it is. And you literally can read off of it if you have to. It's super easy. The only people that you would be canvassing are registered Republicans, so you're not going to be, it's going to be friendly territory. Yeah, so anyway, so it's pretty easy. It surprises me, though, how many people that are pro-life that don't know about this vote. And because of the time of the vote, it's in August, not November. Because the first person that we canvass when we're practicing, she opens the door with a Let's Go Brandon t-shirt on. She had no clue what it was, none. So once we told her about
the Let's Go Brandon or Value the Vote?
She had no clue what Value the Vote was, and we're like, oh my gosh. So no one realized we really need to get out and tell people.
Yeah, cool.
So anyways, so you guys, anybody that wants, and the other thing is I also go out and pray outside Planned Parenthood. I go out and pray outside of Planned Parenthood. And I know Kim goes outside at Trust Women. If you ever want to go out with us, if you've never done it before, I'd be more than happy to go with you. It's super easy. And your prayer really does make a difference. It really, really does. Cool. So.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Any other questions? Oh, is there Dan? After Dan, right behind you.
Just to comment, some of us were involved, some of us in some of you were too. And some of these things sounded so good and so easy to do, but some of us were more timid than others. There were two or three of us in the back of the corner that said we would do this. We've never done anything like this before. So there was a story going around. What difference does it make? We're all going to die. And at that time, there was a story going around of St. Peter at the Golden Gates. You remember it well, don't you?
Help me.
And, okay, as you're dying, and so you're up there, St. Peter, and he says, well, let's look, open up the book and see what you've done in your life to make a difference. Well, I put up a yard sign. I voted for people. I talked to people that I didn't really want to do. So it's uncomfortable. And St. Peter says, so that this earns you the right to be in heaven. We have martyrs up here, people that died for their faith, died for Jesus Christ, and you talk to someone, and that gives you the right to go to heaven. Now, that kind of worked on some of us a little harder. We think, oh, shit, let's just do it. And maybe we'll get a great reward for doing something that was unpleasant, we thought was unpleasant. Looking back, we're glad we did it.
Yeah. Right behind you. Thank you, Dad.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dad.
One of the most important ones was your family. All right, they're the tough ones. They're close to you. They're tight. They may even be dying and sick. But I'm a Democrat, and they don't want to shove down their throat, and they want the last word. Besides praying for them, how do you approach them and say, look, that's a baby? You know, and they think, well, they just do a whole bunch of health care. I don't think they need crap for health care.
Yeah, yeah.
They do abortions, but no big deal. Right. I'm like, my God, that's right. Killing a baby.
Right.
And I said, so you believe it's all right to kill a baby? No, I don't believe in that at all. Well then, but they go ahead and they vote for all these pro-abortion people.
Yeah. Well, I just tell them, like they've been telling me all during COVID, trust the science.
Yeah, really.
Shove that back in. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, trust the science. Folks, when you get that 3D imaging sonogram, there is absolutely no doubt. When you see the little baby's eyelashes, his little toes, sucking on his little thumb, come on. Come on. In Florida right now, California right now, they have a bill that I think it's up to 28 days is what I keep hearing. 28 days after birth, you can still abort your child. What's going on, folks? See how distorted we are? It's evil. It's demonic. So, you know, she says, what else can we do besides pray? Prayer is going to be the biggest one. I'm going to ask you to do two things. My favorite prayer, if you ever come to confession to me, is the Memorare. You'll get the Memorare. Pray for two special gifts of the Holy Spirit. I always go to the spouse of the Holy Spirit and ask her to plead on our behalf to her spouse for these two particular gifts. Wisdom, so I can see what's going on. And counsel, so I don't say the wrong words. So I say the words that's supposed to be said, and I don't say the words not supposed to be said. So when you're talking to a Libtard, you have to be, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. I got in trouble. But when you talk to some liberal that they're not making any sense, pray for wisdom, pray for counsel. It might be that whatever you say, who knows? It might break through that propaganda. Because, folks, I'm convinced 99.9% of all humanity, 99.9% of all Kansans are pro-life. They've just been fed a line of propaganda. They've just been fed a line of crap all their lives about this, the life of the unborn child. So again, they're all pro-life. That's it. I'm going to get her interview first.
Oh, yeah, okay. She wants to talk.
Talk? Oh, now she doesn't want to talk.
She's going to eat it.
She almost ate the microphone. Go ahead.
So with that, though, I'm seeing now a lot of people just like my age that I've grown up with. Now, the argument that I've seen multiple times is we know that's what it is, but before 10 weeks, it's not messy.
Yeah.
So how do you respond to that? Because it's before 10 weeks, it's not messy, but it's still my choice. Like, how do you respond to that? Because I've come across that a lot and don't know what to do without falling.
Yeah. And again, what can you say to that? It's so foreign to our worldview. How do we respond to that? Other than saying, you know what, I respect the dignity and the sanctity of each human life, born and unborn. And yeah, just as I would not want to systematically terminate kindergartners who scared the living hell out of me, I will not do. I will not terminate the unborn, even though that might be messy. Okay, I don't know. I don't know how you. How would you convince them otherwise, Joe?
On that, I've talked to a lot of people just, you know, throughout college and the jobs that I've had about that very topic, and most of them who don't agree with me on pro-life tend to, if you can talk to them about, you know, when you think life starts, start that conversation, when you think it starts, and you get to that. Well, you know, we got some of these bills like the heartbeat bill and the values of both, they're not the end of the road. Like, this is just a means to an end. It's an end is agreeing on when life starts. So if the heartbeat bill, if you can get them to start right there saying, okay, yeah, life begins in a heartbeat, you can then potentially get them to go even further and say, well, you know, a heartbeat isn't what determines human life. You know, cows have heartbeats, dogs have heartbeats, but we don't call them humans. So what is it that human beings have that separates them from everything else? Why do we value them? And if you go into, you know, in any stage of life, pre-birth, you can find a comparison to outside of birth that would, like, for example, your lungs or thought or reason, but there's always something outside of birth elsewhere that you could say, well, this animal isn't valued the same way we value human beings, so what is it? And at the core of it's DNA. The DNA is there for a human being at the moment of conception. It's there from the moment of conception all the way through. That is the only thing that you can go and say, this is a human being. Everything else is shared with other forms of life. Everything else, you can find something to compare it to. And so if you can get them to agree upon, well, when should you value a human life, or what starts it, what, you know, and you can get them to, a lot of them have agreed on that. The hard part is getting them to then change their mind afterwards. But and in terms of having that conversation, you know, plant the seed, that's and then pray, you know, afterwards. That's the watering the plant, if you will. But the moment of conception has the DNA. That's the only thing. And so, there you go.
I'll give him a big round of applause. That's awesome.
I'll just give one quote. Now, I haven't prayed for wisdom or counsel yet, but Pope Francis said, having an abortion is like hiring an assassin to resolve the problem.
Wow. Wow. I never heard that. Wow. Hiring an assassin to solve a problem. It's less messy. Whoa. Yeah. Wow. Thank you, John. Give him a round of applause. Thank you. Any other questions?
Yeah. Well, I came across this on the
Go ahead.
On the internet, and it was a young man, and he said, I understand the value of them both for the baby, but I don't understand it, the value of both for the women. Because, you know, they got that so twisted about, so I know how I feel about it and what to say, but how do you explain that to them? You know, they think it's going to hurt the woman's mentally and all this crap if they don't have the abortion, when it's actually the opposite.
You know what's funny? That is kind of difficult, but I always, there was a lady out, I think it was in Pennsylvania, I think, a black young lady that was running for senator, I think, or something. Mm-hmm. And she said that she was a product of a rape and born. And she said, I have value. Then she goes on to say, my mother was 11. Now you think that was a problem, okay? But she said, I have value. And that is, to me, I think that's just it's a human being. You know, Mother Teresa was speaking out on the East Coast somewhere, some big Ivy League or something. And they said, Mother, do you think we'll ever find a cure for cancer? And she goes, oh, well, we already had the cure for cancer, but you aborted it. Now, she was speaking figuratively, of course, you know, but every single human being has dignity. Every single human being has worth, you know. And so this young lady, she didn't lose, I mean, she didn't win the primary, but she had a great voice and a great pro-life. So about for the mother, yes, I understand the mother might have difficulty. That's where we, the Christian community, not only pray that this woman receive the counsel of Jesus Christ, but we have to have upright action and help this young lady. That's why we have to support these crisis pregnancy centers, Embrace and Better Choice and what. Thank you. Give it a big round of applause. There. Thank you.
I'm a member of the Knights of Columbus. And I know the Knights promote the rosary, but I think we need to, our Mother Mary has said the rosary is our sword of battle. And we need to promote it more, to pray specifically for this vote. Because I know when we say the rosary, I mean, we pick a specific topic. And I think each council needs to, the members, you know, pick a day or something and pray the rosary for this.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you, brother. And thank you. Give him a round of applause. The Knights of Columbus at 3114 Clomel Schulte, they have it on the calendar every first Thursday evening. They have a rosary for life, and then we have mass for life every month. And so that could be encouraged maybe in your own churches to have a pro-life mass. Unfortunately, it's not attended as much as I'd like to see it, but we need to keep doing it. And our Blessed Mother says that rosary is the weapon of the modern world. Yes, sir.
What about fasting? Yeah. Jesus says in the Gospels, he sends the 72 out and they have problems with doing it. He says some of these things can only be driven out by fasting.
That is a good point. You know, when you have these libtards, they're almost like they're possessed. You look at some of their interviews. I think that, you know, I think they are, well, if they're not possessed, they're obsessed. They're so obsessed
with this propaganda they've been shoved down. The thing is, yeah, maybe only prayer and fasting can solve that, to get rid of that demonic influence. You're right. Ugh. Look at my build. I am not ready for fasting.
I'm just segueing off what he said.
Yeah,
Rose,
you're right on. Right on.
About a month ago, I stopped at Kansas for Life on a day off and got one of their really big signs, thinking that I would put it up on our property, which is at 53rd and 183rd, but cool. I have a lot of wonderful neighbors, and there's already a great big sign out there and lots of little signs. So I have this big sign in my garage, and I'm looking for the best, most opportunist place to put it. And my husband will put it up, but I want a good place to put it that isn't already filled with lots of signs.
So, can you stand up so everybody can see you and they can catch you later? There we go. Thank you. Give him a round of applause. Thank you. I'm going to have to bring this to a close here. I have usually the question I usually receive is what's going to be on the ballot. When you go into the booth and you look at your ballot, it's going to have two sections. Section one gives you a little bit. Here's the proposition. Here it is. Okay, and then it's going to go word for word exactly what's going to go on our Constitution. Now, that's a lot of legal speak there, but that's exactly what's going to go on the Constitution. I like section two because it's a summary. Okay, the value of both amendment would reserve to the people of Kansas, through their elected state legislators, the right to pass laws to regulate abortion, because there is no Kansas constitutional right to abortion or to require the government funding of abortion. Now, again, through their elected state legislators. Folks, we have to elect legislators that are going to support life. Once again, there's a third up in the House and Senate that are not pro-life. We need to get rid of them. And if they are a rhino, even more. Because these rhinos get in and say, oh, we're pro-life, and then when it gets a time for them to vote, they don't vote pro-life. And we need to eliminate those, even though they're endangered species. But anyway, so then it says if you vote for it, that's what's going to happen. If you vote against, it would leave in place the newly discovered right to an abortion first recognized in 2019. Once again, this is exactly what's going to be on your ballot. So I encourage all of us, go to valuethemboth.com, click on the amendment, and then you will find, they'll pop up, and this is exactly what's on there. Okay. So with that being said, I want to thank you for being here. I'm going to challenge you to action. And I'll give you a blessing right after Dan speaks here.
Thank you, Father. I served 10 years in the Kansas legislature, 100% voted pro-life. And the concern was, well, you know, that we're going to limit the right of abortions. That's even on the signs that are out there now that said vote no. I don't know if you've seen any. I have.
Oh.
And what that means is they're saying, well, if that passes, we won't have the opportunity to have abortion. Well, I spent 10 years voting for legislation that never prohibited abortions. It only, what Father explained to you, what it actually did. That's all we could do.
Because we didn't have the votes.
Because we didn't have the votes. And he was exactly right. We have to put aside fear and talk to these people, whether they want us to talk to them or not, and say, do you realize what this it really is? You know, this is life.
Right.
But
yeah.
At the same time, there's going to be other states, California and Denver.
New York. Yep.
That are going to be destination places. Mm-hmm. We're not going to eliminate abortions, guys.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say this.
This is where, again, we have to pray for the mercy of God. After 63 million babies systematically terminated, gosh, we got hell to pay. It's kind of scary. But we pray that God is not just. We don't want a just God. we want a merciful God, so that we might be able to survive this. So again, our fight is now. Our fight is due. And let's pray for each other. Let's pray for this effort. And let's pray that we will not become this haven where there will be thousands upon thousands, up to 100,000, 50 to 100,000 babies coming in from out of state to be terminated in the death camps in Kansas. I can't handle that.
The CFO checks all license plates. They go to the clinic every day. And during Lent, I volunteer to help them at 9 o'clock in the morning and during Lent, the gate was always closed at 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, and we'd have somebody out there praying the rosary every Saturday. And after Lent was over, one Saturday I showed up, and there were already 4 pages of the vehicle license plates that had gone through by 9 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
And they are coming from California, and the people from out of state are coming to spend the weekend, and they're just running nonstop.
Oh, my. Yeah.
So, and a lot of times,
Can you guys hear this? She's talking about outside of the clinic getting all some license plates. How many are from California? How many are from out of state?
Yeah. So, during Lent, I volunteered. That was my Lenten resolution. I was going to go and just pray on Friday mornings, 9 o'clock. And during Lent, at my hour, so after Lent, I showed up at 9 o'clock, and by 9 o'clock one of the days, there were already 4 pages of license plates of people that had gone in and out of the driveway. And so they keep track of every single license plate. And they are coming from Texas and California and Colorado, Oklahoma, all these other locations. So they'll send in doctors for the full weekend and just have people there forever. And some of those license plates they'll track too to see how long the people stay there. And there's several that are full day, like they'll be there till late, so they're getting late term abortions, and it's pretty sad. It's kind of like my Saturday at 3 a.m. when I go to adoration, and I was just going to do it during Lent, and now it's just so hard to see. But we are able to sometimes stop the vehicles, and the Catholic Diocese of Wichita, they have a little like resource sheet, what's available to the women, and a lot of times you're able to say, hey, you have food, 2 square meals a day, or, you know, like all these other things. And sometimes all they do is they just want to know, like, what I want to save the baby, but what do I do? You know, they're kind of stuck in a hard spot. So it is helpful to have those little sheets, and I can give you one. You can make copies or whatever you need to do. But
at least we could take, do you have one with you today?
Yeah.
But we can take a picture of it and find a resource where we can get some of that.
Yeah.
Okay, one more.
So I have stood out there in front of the abortion clinic, and I usually have my cane, so I was walking by myself, so he thought I needed help, and I started talking to him, and he was from the venue, and he was going to be a doctor, and that was his rotation.
Oh.
So I did not know that we did that here in Kansas, so that needs to be stopped.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, we got to bring it to a close. Let people free. I'll be here after a while because I haven't had beer yet. So, you're hired. You're again hired again. Oh, thank you. The Lord be with you. Well, may God bless you all. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace. God bless you. Save babies.
Coming up on Wednesday, so in 2 days, we have Adoration Under the Stars out at St. Joe at 8:45 in the evening. Being in front of Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament is a great way to talk to him about what's on our hearts.